Inspiring solutions to save America, one show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
Folks, it's so frustrating. I have warned so many people, so many times, that we were headed right where we are.
The left-wing lunatics are trying very hard to bring back COVID lockdowns and mandates with all of their sudden fear-mongering about the new variants that are coming. Gee whiz, you know what else is coming? An election. They want to restart the COVID hysteria so they can justify more lockdowns, more censorship, more illegal drop boxes, more mail-in ballots, and trillions of dollars in payoffs to their political allies heading into the 2024 election. Does that sound familiar? But to every COVID tyrant who wants to take away our freedom, hear these words: we will not comply.
Well, here we are, folks. That is exactly, in a nutshell, what all of this is about. And the icing on the cake for these people would be convicting him and then indicting him and sending him to jail then. And it's all been so predictable.
3 hours of bold truth and excellence. You've just signed up for the WBR Army. Welcome aboard. This is the Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Well, 2 million podcast downloads strong. We are the Wendy Bell Radio Program. We believe that it's easy to take with you on the road, wherever you go, our podcast. Just search Wendy Bell Radio wherever you get your favorite listening material. I think you're going to like what you hear because it just makes sense, right? So I believe as we look at the media's reaction to the news of yesterday, and there was really so much going on, I find it fascinating that the Supreme Court is listening to this argument in Colorado. It goes back to the Civil War. This desperation to do anything to keep Donald Trump out of office. I find all of that so intriguing and so frustrating that this is where we are. But this is how change has to happen. Like, you can't get rid of cancer until you get all of the edges out, right? You can't scoop out, you can't excise it unless you get all of it. Like, this thing has to blow up. We have to see what the whole world sees. We have to get more people to see what Vladimir Putin so clearly sees. A government in America that is responsible for the most ridiculous propaganda on planet Earth. And we've got to be able to snap people out of that trance, that hypnosis. Some will not be saved. Some may be. So what is it? What's the media response to this? To this Robert Hur thing coming out and saying, Joe Biden broke laws. Joe Biden willfully took stuff, classified documents. He broke the law. He knew he was breaking the law. And then he trampled it even more by sharing classified details with his ghostwriter of his book of suck that I don't know who would ever want to read that, right? We're living his freaking legacy of suck. Why would I want to go out and get it? Be reminded of it, right? Oh, let me put that right here on the coffee table. But the media have not been given the green light to open the door to the sacking of Joe Biden. They're still covering for him, okay? And how do you know this? They were deeply offended yesterday about some of the ancillary words that were put in this report that weren't ancillary at all. That he was slow, painfully slow. That he was well-meaning, but an elderly old man. Certainly not what we envision of a world leader, let alone the leader of the free world. And yet these are the words that were selected, that were used. And it was out of that kind of respect for his oldness, if you will, that Robert Hur decided against charging him and prosecuting him. Because he believes there is a sympathy defense around Joe Biden. He's always used sympathy, whether it was the death of his wife and his daughter, whether it was the death of his son, any of this stuff. He uses it when he talks to the families of people who've died because of his poor decisions, or military members, right? He's got to go back to that that sympathy for him. It's all he's got. Sad. Here's the stories covered by CNN and MSNBC. All right. We're going to begin with two audio sound bites. CNN, this is legal analyst Eli Honig. And he's a lawyer, and he's going to talk about two things that Robert Hurst said that he doesn't like, okay? This is the legal analyst. Now, I don't know. I just want people to be honest, to take off your hat, to take off who you're voting for, what your side is, and we're all guilty of it. And just tell us the legal thing without the spin. This is CNN's legal analyst talking about the word willfully. Didn't like that. Listen.
That is what blew my mind about Joe Biden's statement. Two major things he just outright contradicts or is contradicted by, however you look at this report. There are two things he said that are completely the opposite of what Robert Hur found. And who do you believe is up to, I guess, the individual consumer. First, Joe Biden says, I did not act willfully. Willfully just means voluntarily, intentionally. Well, the second sentence of this whole summary says, President Biden willfully retained and disclosed classified materials. The facts in here show it was willful. He knew. He talked about it. And the second thing he says is, I did not disclose classified documents to my ghostwriter. Page 3 says that he did that. It says, Mr. Biden shared information, including some classified information from those notebooks with his ghostwriter.
So what was it? What is it? Is it willful or isn't it willful? Do you believe the president? Do you believe the special counsel? Do you believe the analyst interpreting what the special counsel said? Or do you believe somebody else? This lawyer is saying, it seems like this dude's done something wrong. And he's going to continue in audio soundbite number 2. Well, Robert Hur says Joe Biden committed a crime. But because he's so old and infirm that we're supposed to be able to give him a pass, that he should not be prosecuted, that it's just going to be a big waste of time. Listen.
Ultimately, what Robert Hur says in this report is essentially the technical elements of a crime. It appears Robert Hur is saying were met. But what he ends up doing is looking at the soft factors. And you're allowed to do that. You have to do that as a prosecutor. And he takes into consideration things like what he says, and maybe this is overstated, maybe not. I'll leave that to the political folks. But he says, essentially, Joe Biden would have created a sympathetic picture in front of a jury. He had memory issues. He had age issues. And that goes into, was he able to form the mental intent here?
Yeah, I didn't think charges and prosecution and justice involved all this interpretation, all this nuance of feelings, all of this idea of, oh, you're supposed to feel sympathy for someone. MSNBC Lawrence O'Donnell, he's off the rails here. He cannot believe that anybody, including Robert Hur, would even talk about Joe Biden's mental decline. Listen to him try to run circles and run interference defending Joe Biden. Listen.
In that case. Well, yeah, especially this line that the president quoted where the report refers to him as a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. What is the word elderly doing there? And poor memory, what is the test of that?
Wow.
Might that be Donald Trump saying, I don't recall 400 times under oath in the same deposition? Is that a good test of it? The idea that witnesses over a 40-year discussion don't remember everything, or that someone who graduates from college in June can't tell you where the diploma is in September.
It was his son's death.
That seems to be a condition that this special prosecutor doesn't understand in the human mind. So I'm going to be fascinated when I can get into all these hundreds of pages to see what is it that makes you stress the lack of memory in this particular case, where you have this completely cooperative witness, and there has never been a witness under oath anywhere being questioned over a period of years of that witness's life where they don't say, I do not recall. It is impossible to ask witnesses questions where the answer will not be, I don't recall. And if you don't get that response, it just means you didn't ask enough questions.
Wow, Larry, apparently Joe Biden is not the only one suffering from cognitive issues. You are too. I mean, I'd love for them to step back and be like, holy cow, I'm really getting all in on this. Dude, wake up. Right? He shakes hands with the air. He forgets stuff all the time. He walks into the bushes. He needs to go down the short steps. He trips, he falls. He's 80 freaking one. This stuff happens. Stop pretending like it doesn't happen. It's so insulting. Hey, Larry O'Donnell, you suck. Ari Melber, up next, chief legal correspondent. He says, you know what? It's not uncommon to say you don't recall, but listen.
It's fairly standard lawyering to advise people, even when in doubt or you think you might remember, if you can credibly say, I don't recall about something, that's a standard legal advice. And it has nothing to do with the age of the person giving the deposition.
When you're under oath, you can't lie. If you do recall, you have to say that you can, but if you can't.
Exactly. Well, that's the whole point, right, Rachel? That basically, because of those standards, the extra burden that you don't want to get anything wrong means you err on the side of saying, I don't recall, I don't remember, unless you really specifically do. And if there's a thing that might seem minor and you're not sure and you're being asked about a very specific aspect of it, like, was it in the morning that meeting or was it in the afternoon? And you had that meeting that day and you even refreshed your notes. You know, I don't recall what time of day.
Hey, Ari, Joe Biden didn't remember the years during which he was vice president. I'm going to go with I would remember. Hi, I'm number two in my country. What was that? Like, what around what? It's sort of like E. Jean Carroll. Do you know what year it was? How about the month? How about a season? Do you remember the season? Were you hot? Were you wearing, like, you know, tank tops? Was it cold? Were you wearing? I don't know. What? Ari, it's a really nice try to twist yourself into all of that, right? To verbal spaghetti yourself into pretzels? That's not what we're talking about, dude. It's called dementia. But it's Chris Hayes' comment. He's got the best one, guys. It's worth everything and then some. Plus, we're also going to talk. Did you guys know that Joe Biden did what Hillary did? Did you know that? The whole private server thing? Hillary got away with it. What the hell? Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. All right, so before we skip over to this headline that just, I don't know, sort of snagged my attention this morning from Just the News, Biden used private email and fake names for official business and shared White House communications with his family. You know, they just wanted you to believe that it was, you know, he just needed the ghost phone. He needed that burner phone like spies do, like drug dealers do, people who don't want to get caught doing stuff. He needed that phone just because, you know, why not? And he needed those pseudonyms. He needed all those different email addresses. He needed those fake names because, you know, everybody does that. I have multiple personalities and each of them has their own email. Not. So we're going to get to that after Chris Hayes, MSNBC. So it's this roundtable discussion. The media, and this is how we know clearly, they're all going to bat for Joe Biden. Obviously, they're so upset about this report. They're delighted that he's not going to get charged. They're so upset that Robert Hur would put in all of these words like elderly, well-mannered, but, you know, forgetful, painfully slow. And that is the phrase that really gets Chris Hayes, boxers in a bunch. And well, here it is for yourself. Go ahead.
There was one adverb in particular that has sort of that struck me, which is painfully, which the author of this report, presumably Mr. Hur himself, uses. The president was his memory was painfully bad, or
it was some of the tapes they heard were painfully slow. The discussion
was painfully slow. That's right. Painfully slow. And I just thought, well, who's in pain? Like what that adverb is such a. It's doing so much work editorially.
Oh, my gosh.
You're in pain because it takes too long. Like, it's just very clear. It just contained in that adverb is this kind of, like, siren call that's leaping off the page.
It's a siren call leaping off the page. Hey, Chris, how about you just admit Joe Biden sucks? And so do you. Anybody who's trying to run interference for these clowns, they suck, too. It's guilt by association. You're guilty. Period. And there's Joy Reid again with her blonde wig looking so concerned. Oh, boy. If it wasn't entertaining, we wouldn't share it with you. It's sad, isn't it? So let's get back to this Biden using a private email and fake names, right? We already know this. But do you guys know this? The National Archives that decided to help The Biden administration, which asked for and received from the FBI, from the Department of Justice, the raid on Mar-a-Lago. So all of a sudden, wait, what about all these thousands and thousands of documents and all of these emails? Tens of thousands of pages of emails from this private email account on a private server, because that makes sense, right? National Archives is told you got to turn that stuff over. Well, you know, we're kind of busy. I got a lot going on. And really, in this budget crunch time, I don't have the manpower to do that. They're like, do it anyway, clowns. How's that going? The National Archives have only turned over, out of the 82,000 secretive and possibly illegal emails preserved in its records, how many do you think they've turned over? Out of 82,000, 60. Wow, I'm telling you, these guys are putting the pedal to the metal. Burning the midnight oil, taking it seriously. This is Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, all of these details from January 6th committee nonsense have sucked. Yeah, we'd like to put that on the shelf for 50 years, okay? Just tuck it over there with Pfizer's trial data about what it knew in phase one of the clinical trial. People don't need to know about that for 50 years. Let's just tuck that away. 60. But they go in and they raid Donald Trump. They lay out all these pictures all over the floor to make it look like Donald Trump is some weird haphazard. Where's that classified document I want to share with people? And just whoosh, threw a bunch of crap everywhere, which he didn't do, of course. Right? Isn't it just so disgusting? A former FBI intelligence officer said, not only does it violate federal records laws that they're not handing over the details of Joe Biden's private email servers, or emails, rather. Not only does it violate federal records laws, Gmail is not a secure government communication system, and especially not for White House business. This is where you cue the, what? What do you mean, bleach? Like bleach, but like bleach with a cloth? Wipe it down with a cloth? I don't understand. Hillary Clinton becoming very stupid. The woman who demands that you treat her with the utmost respect. She's the smartest person in the room whenever she's there. As long as Barack Obama isn't right, he's the smartest. Wipe down? That's the defense. Oh, you know what? He was Joe Biden. He didn't realize. He didn't. C stands for what? Classified? Look, everybody around the world is looking at the ridiculosity of the suck that is our government, that is undeniable. It's inexcusable. It feels inescapable, but it's not. All right, let's go into Tucker Carlson next. This is the part of our conversation where I just tell you I'm so frustrated that institutions that perhaps I blindly believed in before, I don't trust anymore. In fact, I don't know exactly whom I trust. I don't trust science. I don't trust technology. I don't trust our government. I don't trust justice. I don't trust our educational system. I don't trust anything. And it's a really frustrating position to be in. But what it does, when you begin to see things and they add up and then you get suspicious and then you do some research and then all of a sudden what they tell you is not congruous with your own independent review of the facts, everything becomes questioned. And that's where we are. And we have to. One thing we know about people who don't like to tell the truth is that if you're going to run an elaborate scheme, if in fact the entire operation of your identity is farcical, it's a lot of running interference. It's a lot of lies to keep straight. It's got to be ridiculously stressful. And so it's beneficial to have demons, to have arch nemesis folks in other locations, to have the people who are the demons that you can create and blame as your backdrop. if things start to heat up in particular. Vladimir Putin's been that guy for a while. Donald Trump took center stage for a long time. And I don't think the two are really all that different in many ways. I don't know anything about Vladimir Putin personally. I can tell you what I hear him say and what I've heard him say in the past. And then the coverage of it, which is not equivalent, right? Donald Trump is the same thing. Painted as this dictator, this ruler, this madman, this crazy person. But what I get and what I heard last night in the Tucker Carlson interview, and I sure hope you go back and you watch and you listen to it all because it's very educational. You understand things in a different way. Vladimir Putin is tremendously fond of his homeland. And he takes its protection and its borders seriously, unlike we here in the United States. Donald Trump did. Years ago, he talked about this. He talked about it before it happened, and he was ridiculed for it. And this is where we are. Putin is described as a monster, as a crazy madman. I want you to hear from him himself. Because what I heard yesterday in this interview with Tucker Carlson was, first of all, about 20 minutes of a pretty intense history lesson about Russia's coming to be, about its struggles with its borders, about its people and its land, about how it had been lied to as a country, even how Bill Clinton had said, as Putin had asked Bill Clinton when Bill was president, what are the chances of Russia getting into NATO? And that night, Bill Clinton said to him, pretty good. I think it's something that can be done. And then the next day, all of a sudden, according to Vladimir Putin, the story changed. And President Clinton at the time told Putin, I don't think it's going to happen. And Putin said, it's not your leaders who are leading. It's who's behind them. Those people are my enemy. Not your country. Not you, but the people who are pulling the strings behind the curtain. Three audio sound bites. First one, right out of the gates. I think it was great and it needed to be asked. Listen.
But I'm confused. I mean, that's the biggest act of industrial terrorism ever. And it's the largest emission of CO2 in history.
Okay, Nord Stream.
So if you had evidence, and presumably given your security services, your intel services, you would, that NATO, the US, CIA, the West did this, why wouldn't you present it and win a propaganda victory?
In the war of propaganda, it is very difficult to defeat the United States, because the United States controls all the world's media and many European media. The ultimate beneficiary of the biggest European media are American financial institutions. Don't you know that? So it is possible to get involved in this work, but it is cost prohibitive, so to speak. We can simply shine the spotlight on our sources of information, and we will not achieve results. It is clear to the whole world what happened, and even American analysts talk about it directly.
So I gave this to you out of order, because he's going to ask him, and you're going to hear it next. Who blew up the Nord Stream pipeline? And Vladimir Putin, well, I'll play it for you right now so you can hear in context, and then we'll talk about both of his responses right after this. All right, here's Tucker Carlson. Who did it? Listen.
Who blew up Nord Stream?
You for sure.
I was busy that day. Nate, do you have I did not blow up Nord Stream. Thank you, though.
You personally may have an alibi, but the CIA has no such alibi.
Do you have evidence that NATO or the CIA did it?
You know, I won't get into details, but people always say in such cases, look for someone who is interested. But in this case, we should not only look for someone who is interested, but also for someone who has capabilities. Because there may be many people interested, but not all of them are capable of sinking to the bottom of the Baltic Sea and carrying out this explosion. These two components should be connected. Who is interested and who is capable of doing it?
Perfect. And is that a mystery to anybody who's paying attention? Who blew up Nord Stream? You did. He says, I was busy that day. I didn't. They laugh. And he said, no. But your CIA does not have the same alibi that you do. Everybody knows who did it. Everybody knew who did it from day one. Everybody watched them come out and lie about it, but everybody knew. Who has the ability to do such a task? Everybody knows. So why don't you tell everybody the proof that you have? You obviously have proof, Tucker Carlson says. You obviously have proof that it was the American CIA that blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. Why don't you present that to people as your facts? I can't possibly present facts to a country, to a world that is so hypnotized by the masters of American propaganda. What do we hear about Putin all the time? Oh, his propaganda. That's a Russian disinformation camp. That's a campaign to do such and such. Blah, blah, blah. What did they call that? Every single thing that the Democrats get caught doing, they blame on Russia. Russia right there with Tucker Carlson was acknowledging the masters of the universe of suck in propaganda are the Americans. That, to me, was like, of course, everything that you and I have supposed, have opined about, have considered, everything that you think about seems to be correct. Then he asks him this. Remember the whole Chuck Schumer thing when talking about the funding for Ukraine and Israel and everybody else, Taiwan? And Chuck Schumer came out before the vote went down in flames and he waved his hand and fist and he's like, if you don't want your kids going over to a foreign war in Europe, you're going to want to pass this bill. And everybody was like, whoa, that seems like a stretch. So as he's talking to the Russian president, and the Russian president says to Tucker Carlson, I am all about peace. I said I didn't want to do this. I said we could negotiate. We had a deal. And they sent Boris Johnson in to kill it. That's what he said. He and Zelensky, they were going to come up with a deal. And America sent in Boris freaking Johnson to talk to Zelensky to can the peace deal. None of this had to happen, he said. So what about this Chuck Schumer saying that American troops could come to Europe? What do you say about that, Mr. President? Listen.
This is a provocation, and a cheap provocation at that. I do not understand why American soldiers should fight in Ukraine. There are mercenaries from the United States there. The bigger number of mercenaries comes from Poland, with mercenaries from the United States in second place and mercenaries from Georgia in third place. Well, if somebody has the desire to send regular troops, that would certainly bring humanity to the brink of very serious global conflict. This is obvious. Do the United States need this? What for? Thousands of miles away from your national territory. Don't you have anything better to do? You have issues on the border, issues with migration, issues with the national debt, more than $33 trillion. You have nothing better to do, so you should fight in Ukraine? Wouldn't it be better to negotiate with Russia? Make an agreement, already understanding the situation that is developing today, realizing that Russia will fight for its interests to the end? And realizing this, actually return to common sense, start respecting our country and its interests, and look for certain solutions. It seems to me that this is much smarter and more rational.
Does he sound like a crazy madman to you? Because I don't get that vibe at all, what I do hear. Is that there's a reason why we have Islamic extremism and jihadis gunning for us because we have meddled as a country in areas of the world where we ought not have gone. And we took down governments and we destroyed countries and we created so much unrest and so much uncertainty and so many people died because of that. No wonder we are hated. No wonder they want to destroy us. But it wasn't like that with Donald Trump. Vladimir Putin goes on to say, he does not want war. He does not want land. He's not trying to get back territory. And he was specifically talking about why he decided to invade Ukraine. All of the lies, all of the compacts, all of the treaties, all of the negotiations that had been reneged upon through the course of time. And he was done with NATO opening the door to Ukraine, a door they had slammed on Russia many years prior. But this is not some lunatic. This is a man who loves his country and is willing to defend its interests, and who is deeply wounded by the demonization of him by our government as their scapegoat. It was fascinating. You've got to listen. How many? 100 million views already? I'm sure it's up to 150. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we got to talk about this. The one bridge that might be the one too far, even for the Democrats. Taking Trump's name off the ballot in Colorado. The Supreme Court, possibly a unanimous decision on this here and imminently. We'll see if that's the case next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You know, I think when you have a flimsy argument and you add in hysteria, you've got a bad outcome. I didn't like chemistry, but I know how to blow things up in a beaker, right? You add a little bit of this, add a little bit of that, it starts to smoke. This is the strategy on the left. So you got this whole thing that we're going to go back hundreds of years, right? A couple hundred years, whatever. And we're going to go and we're going to use something from the Civil War, right? And we're going to take a little thing from the Civil War and part of our Constitution, and we are going to explain that that's why Donald Trump should not be allowed to be on the ballot. They are so terrified of this man. And it's fascinating. And it's fascinating to watch it bounce to the high court. So it usually takes, months if you even are lucky enough to be considered to be heard by the Supreme Court. But they knew that, look, this is an election year. We got to figure this stuff out. We got to figure out, is Donald Trump truly, in the eyes of the Constitution and what this clause was that says anybody who tried to, you know, create an insurrection or revolt against their government cannot be held accountable or cannot be, rather, be deemed able to run for office in the future. Well, some very interesting arguments that are also worthwhile, and I encourage you to do a little perusing of those. Elena Kagan, liberal as nuts, very cogent question of these lawyers. Also, Ketanji Brown Jackson, asking legitimate questions about give me a case, this is Clarence Thomas, give me a modern case that you can use as an example for why Donald Trump should be kicked off this ballot. And of course, the attorney could not. And so now we're hearing it may actually come out in a unanimous decision. Who knows who might write the decision? I would imagine it would be Roberts. But can you imagine if this is the one policy, the one question, the one legal challenge that gets all nine of these people who are very, very different in terms of ideology together on the same side? So here's the headline. Breitbart: Supreme Court argument forecasts major victory for Trump in Colorado case. I just have to stop before we even go there and think about how deranged and pathetic and triggered these activists have to be. The amount of time they spend poring over things to find loopholes, to find little things that have never been legally challenged or used in cases like this, and see if they can extrapolate from them a reason to throw stones at and chink the armor of Donald Trump. It's pathetic. Waste so much time. Can you imagine if these people just didn't suck and they tried to do things that were right for America and they cared about Americans? Can you imagine where we could be as a country? Here's your story. Former President Donald Trump appears to be headed for a massive victory at the Supreme Court on the Colorado case over his eligibility to be on the 2024 ballot after the beating the lawyers against him received Thursday from the justices. The liberal Colorado Supreme Court. That you even have to say that. Like, your politics should not play a role in justice. It should be the law. It should be precedent. It should be all based on the Constitution. That's what it should be. Not whether you agree with somebody's politics. But you know what? That didn't really work so well for all of those January 6 protesters, did it? The liberal Colorado Supreme Court sided with Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold by a 4-3 vote, holding that Trump engaged in insurrection and that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment thus disqualified him from running for president in 2024. Trump's lawyers obviously rejected the accusation that Trump's actions, his actions, what did he freaking do? He went to the Ellipse to say goodbye. He went there to say, go be strong. Fight on. Justice will prevail. Be peaceful. Why did they scrub off of Twitter his video? Put up just hours after his speech at the Ellipse that said, don't fiddle with law enforcement. Respect them. Go home. It's over for today, but we will live to fight another day. Whoosh, wiped that off of the internet. Why? Because it's all planned. God, it's so frustrating. It appears clear that Trump is about to win big, likely either an 8-1 vote or even a unanimous 9-0 decision. Such a move would very likely boost his lead in the polls as the presidential election swings into high gear. It's so aggravating to see, with all the financial documents, with the suspicious activity reports, with the canceled checks, with the information from whistleblowers, with the information from people who testified before oversight, that Joe Biden has clearly broken the law. He's clearly enriched himself. And yet, he should be able to get away with it. Where on the flip side, they have to make up information about Donald Trump. They have to stage photographs. They have to rely on the squelching of his messaging and his being booted and banned from platforms so as to stifle his reach. They have to wiretap. They have to create fake dossiers. They have to lay out evidence and take pictures of it to present it to the people in hopes that they will believe what they're saying. But I don't think that you can fool the Supreme Court. And I believe that the liberal justices, Ketanji Brown Jackson, Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor in general, know that if they let this go and they say to Colorado, hey, go ahead, you're right, your interpretation is correct, take him off, the can of worms that will be unleashed will be nothing like anything we've seen. We're paying attention to this. We're also paying close attention to this threat, right? Christopher Wray says there's a real threat that China is going to attack our critical infrastructure. Wait, what? So we got to bring in an expert, national security expert, John Guandolo, former federal agent, knows his stuff. Get educated next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.